Hi, this is John Arvish here on Montana Public Radio, welcoming Bruce Spiegel. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You have a long career in film editing and film work, in particular with 48 Hours. And you've also done some other film work, a film on Machito from a long time ago.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that process and kind of how that led you to Bill Evans' Time Remembered. And we'll get back to that film in just a minute.
The thing is, I've always really been interested in music from the very get-go. And in the 80s, I got bitten by the Latin music bug. It was big in New York. I really wanted to work on a film that had Latin music. And I found a guy who was desperately trying to put things together. He didn't have funding. He was on and off. I bugged him, and I kept saying, you know, I'd love to work on this film. And he finally said, well, you know what? Come on the film. And that began a two-year journey that took me to the Machito film, and that was a film with the Machito's band and had Dexter Gordon in it, Machito, Tito Puente in it, Ray Barreto. It had a lot of the great people from that era. So that was my first introduction to Latin music, and that meant a lot to me. I made that film in 16 millimeter before there was Avid or anything. So that was actually a film.
Right.
That was early on. And I've always been interested in music. I've been a jazz lover all my life. I had an opportunity this last year to work on a film on the Mandela Pass. We did a film out on the history and how important the music was to their revolution. And we had Hugh Masekela on it. Music has just always spurred me to make something special happen. So I've been always interested in music. I've been listening to music as a kid, and late in my life, I discovered Bill Evans. Don't ask me how. He was around all the time. I've seen him. I'd heard him on Kind of Blue. Yeah, I didn't really feel his full power till I was older. And then once I felt it, it usually takes one record to sort of get you in. For me, it was Polka Dots and Moonbeams. I thought, nobody plays the piano like he plays the piano. That's what I thought. And I started to pick up some records, and I was just led to it. And then I picked up Peter Pettinger's book called How My Heart Sings. And it was a really good book, and I really admired it, all the work he did. But at the same time, I felt like at the end of it, I felt like I really didn't know Bill Evans. He had a tragic life. A lot of bad things happened to him. He had a drug problem. But I really didn't feel like I actually knew the guy. I was finished a movie, and I just thought Chuck Israels was in town, and I read something. And I just sent him a note. I said, gee, I'd like to interview maybe doing a Bill Evans movie. I didn't even think about it. And he said, sure. And I said, that was interesting. So I just went over there and I did the interview with him. And it was pretty good. And then the thing that really propelled me to do the film was late that year, I got an interview with Paul Modi and Paul Motion, who's passed away. And something happened in that interview. He had played a long time with Bill. He had played with Scott LaFaro. I think it meant a lot to him. And at first, he was like a little brisk with me, you know, oh, don't bug me. People have been asking about Bill his whole life, you know, don't ask me, don't bug me. But when we finally sat down, he was able to just unload what he felt about Bill in a true way. He unloaded a lot of personal stuff that he felt about Bill. He was really friends with Bill a lot. At first, he didn't want to talk about the drug addiction, and then they suddenly said, oh, the hell with it, man. I'm going to tell you, he was shooting drugs. Scott LaFaro didn't like it. There was a big fight about it. So we had a really interesting conversation. I left the interview with Paul Motion thinking, people have a lot to say about Bill Evans, more than I thought. And that was the interview that kicked me off. It was the second interview I did. So the interview with Paul Motion's really set me in motion to do the film. And I thank God I saw Paul before I saw anybody else, because that spurred me on to keep interviewing people. All the people that I talked to, and I interviewed close to 40 people, everybody was more than glad to talk about Bill. And I thought a few people with a little bit of history behind it were able to kind of look at the film and look at their lives and look at the relationship with Bill and have more to say about it. Some people had regrets, like Chuck Israels was sorry that he didn't reach out more to Bill. Because Bill was not an easy guy to understand, and he hung out a lot in lonesome rooms, and if you didn't make an effort to connect to him, you just met him on the bandstand. So he was an enigma of a guy, and that was my quest, to try to get to know Bill Evans as best I could with the people that I could talk to.
Interesting that Paul Motion and Chuck Israels were kind of the impetus to get all this started. Paul Motion, of course, playing in the classic band with Scott LaFaro before he passed, which began a really dark period for Bill Evans. And then Chuck Israel's the first one to really replace Scott LaFaro in that working trio. So both of them kind of at both ends of the life and death of Scott LaFaro.
Right. In fact, one of the interviews, he had heard about Scott LaFaro passing, and he said, well, I know I'm going to get that job. He knew instinctively that he was going to be playing with Chuck Israels. And by the way, Chuck told me quite candidly, he said to me, he wasn't even sure how to work some of the changes and maybe the harmonic changes that Bill implemented. And Bill was very kind to bring him along early in the days and help him perceive how to make the correct changes to play with Bill. So Chuck was an interesting guy, and I interviewed him twice. All the people were really articulate and very giving in all the interviews right down the line. So I feel very fortunate to have the opportunity to talk to these people that could tell you about this history of the past, because this part of the music is over now. It's all the new guys that are coming up, whatever. And the great beauty of the music from the 1950s through 1963, when all that music was still fresh and in its prime, is passing now. So I feel very fortunate that I had the opportunity to talk to Jack DeJohnette, Jim Hall, and Bobby Brookmeyer, who has passed. I talked to a lot of people, and everybody was great. Sure, I'll meet you when you want to meet. And everybody left it. I felt that they felt good about talking about Bill. And so I feel very fortunate to have had this opportunity to make the film.
Now you get to share that with the rest of the world. So how do all those stories translate to film now? So you've got all these interviews, you've got all these ideas. You also collected film of Bill Evans playing. And how do you go about putting all that together to make a film?
It's hard because it's a jigsaw puzzle. Most people can start at the point, the beginning, and tell a chronological story. And I struggled with how to tell the story because at a certain point in Bill's life, after Scott LaFaro died, he got the trio with Eddie, with Marty Morrell and all that stuff. And he had a long siege where he played, and then he got straight, and then he went off. You know, it was a long siege where he was prominent, but nothing happened. I'll tell you two little tricks to this. I couldn't figure out how I was going to make the second part of the movie as vibrant as the first part of the movie, which was with Bill Evans, with Miles Davis, and with Scott LaFaro, because that was really the essence of the beauty of that he made during that whole framework from 1958 through 1963 when he recorded Sunday at the Village Vanguard. So I knew that part was going to be good. And I had really good interviews that helped me through that. Chuck was good. I had Gloria Steinem, who was Scott LaFaro's girlfriend.
Right.
I had Jean Reese told me about that, but also had Helen, Scott's sister's girlfriend.
Okay.
So I had a lot of people that were very articulate about that whole period. And of course, I had Paul. Paul was there.
For
Paul
all of it.
He said to me, the last thing he said was like, yeah, we wrapped up the gig, and I was packing up my drums, and I looked over at Paul, and I looked over at Chuck, and I looked at him and said, man, we got to keep doing this. We're on to something big here. He's talking about the trio sound that they had incorporated. And I thought, this is a moment in history. They were really living their time together. And Gloria, Scott's girlfriend, said they were so pumped up. They were feeling such a rush because the quality of the audience was really receptive down to Vanguard. And, of course, boom, in 15 days, Scott LaFaro was dead, and that completely wrecked everybody's lives. I had those elements, so I put that element together. The thing that was important was I saved the compositional elements to Bill's life, which is his composing.
Right.
I moved that to the back of the film. So you don't really get a sense of his composing until the back of the film. So those were two things that kicked me in to help me structure. Once I had the vision of the film, the chronology of the film carried me. The film, what I did was I started with Bill at the beginning, and then I went back to his childhood, and then we caught up to him. And I wanted to start everything with Paul because I knew Paul was my answer. I knew every time I put the screen on Paul Motion, he said the right thing, he did the right thing. He was my guiding light to help with the structure of the film. That's how I perceived the film. I think the structure is pretty good. A lot of people have commented to me, they thought they knew Bill, but they really didn't know Bill when they really saw all the things that happened to him. So I talked to a guy named Bill Sovetsky, who was a great friend of Bill Evans later in his life. He had a lot of personal stuff about Bill that not a lot of people had, because he knew Bill when Bill was with his former wife, Nanette. So he had a view on things from a non-musical perspective that I didn't get from a lot of people. And plus, by the way, I got Debbie Walsh for Debbie, and I got Debbie's mom, Pat Evans. And Pat Evans's daughter-in-law is Annie Buchan, and she's going to be at the show. So I feel like I turned all the stones to get as many different interviews as I could, just because I felt like I wanted to do it. There were a few people I couldn't get, but as my friends say, man, you don't get everybody.
Right. I think so many people know of Bill Evans really from Miles Davis, and there's so much more to who he was as an accompanist. If you look at his recordings with Chet Baker and, you know, his album with Charles Mingus in the late 50s and playing with Lee Konitz, boy, some of the recordings of them in the late 50s. And then when they got back together in 76 with Bill Evans and Lee Konitz and Warren Marsh. And then the essence of his trios and that sound that he got, whether it was Eddie Gomez or Chuck Israels or Scott LaFaro, the space in his piano playing that has influenced generations of players since also has to do with the person that was Bill Evans. And it sounds like the film, both in terms of his private life and in terms of his musicality, beyond being Miles Davis piano player in 1958 and 59, is something I really look forward to. I'm really excited for the film.
I hope you sit down and put your feet up and just get into it. I hope the sound system is good, and I hope they project it well. And I think it's going to be an interesting treat to see. As Tony Bennett says, the beauty and sensitivity of Bill Evans's music comes through in this wonderful film. And I thought that's a good thing to say, because he was saying, as an homage to me in a weird way, I captured the essence of Bill Evans, the beauty of what he did. And listen, I'm sure there are going to be people that, oh, what about the record? What about... You do a film like this, and you have to take your best shot. And I, you know, there's 8,000 recordings Bill recorded with everybody. Like you say, Lee Konitz, it's a million people. Tony Scott, I mean, if there was a time to record, he would come to the session. But his music transcended everything. And I made it a point, I listened to a lot of his music, and I made it a point to really use the music to capture the essence of Bill Evans. I hope I did it, and I hope people will respond to it. The Miles Davis thing is a pretty interesting thing. Is when you see it, it's very weird what happens with Miles. So listen, as John Hendricks said, Miles was like a wish doctor, man. He said, he pushed you as far as he could. And, and that's what he did with Bill. He knew how to rub people the wrong way to get the most out of them. But him and Bill had a very interesting relationship, a very strange relationship in a weird way. Who knows what it was all about? You know, the thing is, they had the love and respect of the music. And Miles understood that Bill really knew the music and respected the music. And that was the foundation of what they built, and that kind of blew out. It's an amazing thing. I'm sorry that I can't be there for this. I'll be there in spirit with you guys.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
I sure appreciate your time today, Bruce. Bruce Spiegel's film, Bill Evans, Time Remembered, airs on Sunday, the 28th of February at 12:30 at the Top Hat as part of the Big Sky Documentary Film Festival. Been visiting today with film editor, director Bruce Spiegel. Thank you, Bruce, so much for being here with us.
You're welcome, and I hope everybody gets out to the show and experience the beautiful music of Bill Evans.